Hey guys, coming up today on Sports Spectrum, we get to explore the world of boxing. We've never had a boxing referee on this show. It's been 7 years since we launched this show in 2017, and this is our first boxing referee that we get to talk to. Kenny Bayless is that guy. He's kind of a big deal. He was inducted into the National Boxing Hall of Fame in April of 2023, along with his twin brother, Kermit, who is a boxing judge. They were both inducted together, which is pretty cool. He was inducted into the Nevada Boxing Hall of Fame in 2014. He's been the third man in the ring for over 100 title fights. Some of those notable fights include Mayweather-Pacquiao in 2015, Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury, their second fight in 2020, Antonio Carver and Roy Jones Jr., Floyd Mayweather and Shane Mosley, Manny Pacquiao and Shane Mosley, Oscar De La Hoya and Floyd Mayweather. He's done a bunch of super fights. He's kind of a big deal. But he also has this saying before every boxing match. He says, "What I say, you must obey." And there's a connection there with that word obey. Kenny Bayless loves Jesus and obeying God's word and obeying sort of the will of God, and how he's incorporated that into being a boxing referee is fascinating. I think you guys are going to love hearing the story of Kenny Bayless here on Sports Spectrum, Hall of Fame boxing referee. It's coming up in just a moment here on the show. First, I want to remind you about our Sports Spectrum magazine. Make sure you go check out sportsspectrum.com. That's the website. You'll see the magazine icon. You click it, you subscribe. Super easy. The reason we suggest this magazine pretty much on every podcast is because we believe it can be a tangible tool to help you in your walk with Jesus. Not just reading stories and articles, that's great. And we have devotionals in every magazine as well. It's a quarterly magazine. But what a great way to introduce someone to Jesus by saying, hey, check out the magazine, read the story of this athlete or coach who loves the Lord, and maybe that can inspire you or encourage you to begin your own walk with Jesus. You can subscribe today over at sportsspectrum.com. And when you check out, don't forget to use the code podcast15, podcast15, to save an additional 15% off a one-year subscription to Sports Spectrum's magazine. You can subscribe today over at sportsspectrum.com. Everybody, welcome back to Sports Spectrum. It is great to have Kenny Bayless here, the boxing referee, on the show. Hi, Kenny. How are you?
All right, Jason. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. It's so good to talk to you. I'm glad that we're going to have this conversation. Grateful to our mutual friend, Teddy Barrett, for connecting us from the world of Major League Baseball as an umpire. And here you are as a boxing referee, which we're going to talk a lot about your career in a second. But we got to start with Jesus. That's where we like to start here on this show. It's where we should probably always start when we think about our walk with the Lord. Tell me about Jesus and who he is to Kenny Bayless.
Well, I tell you, I was born and raised in Berkeley, California, which is up in the northern area near San Francisco, Oakland. And my mom was a Christian for me and my two brothers from start go, and we were in the church every Sunday, and we were in a Bible a class with her on Wednesdays. And as a kid growing up, as much as I didn't agree to the consistency that she had with us, being a part of the church, I was in the youth usher board, I was in the youth choir, I was a junior deacon. So I was actually raised in the church, and I gave my life to the Lord at a very young age because of it. And I'm truly thankful that my mom did exactly what she did, because despite the consistency that she had in making sure that we went to church on Sundays and Bible study, like I said, there were times I just would rather have been out playing football or basketball or whatever the case may be, because my mom's house was right across the street from a recreation center. And for us growing up, that was like Disneyland. And we could go over there, and shucks, way back then, we could engage in horseshoe throwing back in the day, but that I'm talking a long time ago. But anyway, so it was those early years that woke me up, and as well as my brothers, to know who Jesus was, and that he's going to be a big part of our life.
So, at what point or time frame, however you want to, venture to this area, does it become your faith? I mean, and I don't mean when you're young, when you're little, that's not your faith. But obviously, when we become adults, that faith can't be our parents or can't be somebody else's. It's got to be our own. What was the sort of manifestation of that and the evolution of your faith as you got older?
Well, you said it, Jason. When I lived with my mom all the way up through college. And when I graduated from college was when I moved to Las Vegas. Now I got to recognize who I am as a man. And up until I got married, just a little more than 10 years after I moved to Las Vegas, I'm just discovering who Kenny Bayless is and where the Lord is going to fit in my life, because I'm not going to say that I was the perfect angel, because I wasn't. I mean, I, in Romans 3:23, it says that we've all, we're sinners. We're all sinners.
All of us.
And we fall short. So with that being said, and then living here in Las Vegas, which back then was looked at, or the nickname that it was given was Sin City.
Oh yeah.
You really had to monitor the things you did here, because it was like a town that was like anything goes. And for me, getting away from home for the first time, I know I didn't walk the choir boy type life, but the Lord was always in the back of my mind. I mean, there were things I did that I knew wasn't right, but the Lord was there, and I would talk to the Lord, and I would say, I know this ain't right, and though I'm doing it, but it wasn't until I met my wife, and my wife is a godly person, and that's probably 99% of the reason why I knew that the Lord sent her to me, because she was a Christian from start go. Her parents, her dad was a minister, and her mom eventually got ordained, we put the two peas in the pot and it'll work. And we've been married for 40 years now.
Wow. Well, happy anniversary. 40 years is incredible. I'm on 20. What year am I in? 24 years. So I got a little ways to go to catch up with you, Kenny. Now, one thing that I think we have in common, maybe it's a little different. Certainly, I grew up with my dad around, but he wasn't really present in my life. I understand from what I was reading that you've mentioned your mom a lot, but you grew up without a dad, didn't you?
Yes, I did. And that was a tough one for me and my brothers, because my dad passed when me and my twin brother was just a year old, and my oldest brother was four. So it was tough, because, like I mentioned, having the recreation park across the street from the house, when we went over there, it wasn't like, a father would go and play catch and throw balls with you and just kind of bring sports into your life. We kind of had to learn it on our own. And my mom was very strict in a sense that back then, football, couldn't mention to her about wanting to play football, because she just thought that football was just too violent of a sport. So, I mean, if there was anything else that we wanted to do, like, basketball or baseball, she had no problems with it. But There were times when I'd see my friends out at the park with their dad, and yeah, I would have loved to have had my dad around so that I could get that experience, but because of his early death, we didn't have that. And but my mom, she did everything that a mom could do and some for us as we were growing up. And I'm thankful for it.
Was boxing people know you as a boxing referee. Was boxing the sport when you were a kid? How did you get into boxing?
I got into boxing from watching Muhammad Ali on my mom's black and white television.
Yeah.
And back then, not like it is now with pay-per-view and ESPN and Showtime and different networks, Muhammad Ali was on ABC Wire World of Sports. You could just turn the television on and he's right there in your living room. And so with Muhammad and then Howard Cosell and all the antics that went with it is what got me interested in the sport. Because when I got to college, me and my twin brother was already running track, but I ran track. I played freshman basketball, and it wasn't until I moved to Las Vegas, because you know I was recruited to teach school in Las Vegas, and so I came here, Jason, in August of 72, and in February of 73, Muhammad Ali came here to fight a guy by the name of Joe Bugman. And me and my cousin was standing out in front of the convention center because I couldn't afford to go. And a friend of my mom walks up to me and said, "Bayless, what are you doing here?" And I said, "Well, I live here now." He said, the next thing he said, Jason, changed my life.
Wow.
He said, "Do you have a ticket to the fight?" And I said, "No, I don't." And he reached inside of his sports jacket and pulled out two tickets that he gave to me. I took one of the tickets, gave it to my cousin who was standing out there with me. And the next minute I knew we were inside the arena and was excited. The hair on the back of my neck was sticking up so straight because of the excitement. And that's what triggered me to go into the sport of boxing.
Wow. What an experience, too. And in a time in the mid to late 70s when he was, you know, it's him and it's Foreman and it's Ken Norton and all these guys, like the heavyweight division in boxing at that time was huge. And you get a chance to experience a fight and watch Muhammad Ali in person.
In person. I mean, it just blew me away. And from that point, Jason, every boxing match that came to Las Vegas, I was there. Now, I quite frankly couldn't afford to go to all those fights, but I always kind of find a way to slip in through the back door or work my way through a crack just so that I could see the fights. And I did that several years, and I got kind of tired of avoiding security. So I seek to find a way to get involved. And believe it or not, Jason, it wasn't refereeing at first. The first thing I tried, which I thought I was doing pretty good at, was judging. And so I got into the amateurs. And I'm judging the fights. And then I would still go to the pro fights and sit somewhere in the audience and judge the fights there. And then I would take my score and compare it to one of the professionals. Well, one of the professionals looked at me and said, he says, "Hey, you look to be in pretty good shape. Why don't you try refereeing?" And my first response to that was, "Oh no, I don't want to get in there with those guys. It's safer on the outside than on the inside." But then I thought about it after a while and said, "Well, why not give it a try?" So I asked Richard Steele, who had just come to Vegas and was refereeing, and he took me to the gym and started teaching me the art of refereeing, and the rest is history.
Wow, what a great story. Now, it's one of the questions I actually had was because I read, I think it was on your website, that you didn't become a professional referee till 1991. So that's age 41, if I'm doing my math right on your birthday, which means there's a whole time in your 20s and 30s where you're trying to find the fit, if you will, into this space. That's where the judging was taking place. By the way, your twin brother is like one of the legendary boxing judges, isn't he?
Yeah, but we both got inducted into the National Boxing Hall of Fame this year, which was back in April.
Yeah, amazing.
And Jason, when I started in the amateurs, he actually started in the amateurs. We both kind of got started around the same time. And he was having some personal issues at the time and happened to move back to California, where we're from. And when he moved back, I said to him, hey, join the California Commission. And he was hesitant at first, but he eventually did. So he had put many years into the California Commission before he moved back to Las Vegas. And so he's got appointed to be a judge here in Nevada. So he's actually judging in California as well as Nevada. So he's doing both states now.
What was your first heavyweight or your first title fight that you refereed?
The first title fight I did was a fighter by the name of Ricardo Lopez. You had mentioned earlier, Jason, about the fill-in between me getting appointed and when I was 41 years old. I was also an inspector with the Nevada Commission at the time. And actually during that time, which I consider the time in my career was a bit, I won't say stressful, but I had challenges that I had to deal with.
Sure.
Back then. Once I got past the challenges, if we have the time for me to go into it, I ended up refereeing and I wasn't getting the fights that I felt that I deserved. And for an example, I wanted the Mike Tyson fight bad because Mike Tyson was the hottest thing when he came along. And when I was an inspector with the commission, I was actually in his dressing room and ringside as an inspector when he became the youngest heavyweight and beat Ali, because Ali was the youngest heavyweight at 21, and Mike Tyson did it a few months before. Ali's 21st year. But anyway, I wanted the Mike Tyson bad. I could taste it in my mouth, and it never happened. But along the way, like I said, I did Ricardo Lopez, which was my first world title fight, but still there were challenges for me prior to, because Jason, when I got appointed at 41, you know, I was saying to myself, shucks, I'm 41 years old already. What kind of a life expectancy am I going to have as an official?
Right.
Because I'm already getting started at 41 years old, but the Lord was watching over me.
Yeah.
And through all those hard times, between wanting to quit and frustrated behind everything that was going on, he was just watching over me and knowing that my time was going to come. So again, it's staying in faith.
He is Kenny Bayless, boxing referee, joining us here on Sports Spectrum. Anyone who watches you preparing for a boxing match, when you get both guys at the center of the ring, you always bring this catchphrase that every boxing fan knows: what I say, you must obey. You got to tell the story behind that, because it's not just a catchphrase. There's an intentionality behind that that's even connected to faith, isn't there?
Yes, there is. And you know, back in the day, when I was working my way up, one of the best things for me to witness was, as an inspector, the different referees that came into the dressing room and gave their instructions. And then in the ring, they would give the final instructions. And Mills Lanes had the catchphrase, "Let's get it on."
Sure.
Yeah. Which everybody in the arena would be waiting for that. It would be something that would kind of spark the crowd before the contest started. And my middle son kept saying, "Dad, you have to get a catchphrase." And I wasn't really into the catchphrase thing. And he just kept taunting me about, "Dad, you got to get a catchphrase." And because I was a school teacher at the time, he came up with, "Dad, why don't you say, what I say, you obey it." It was similar to what I say, you must obey. But it was just a little too strong. And I thought about it and I says, well, if I clean that up just a little bit, it might work. And I came up with, "What I say, you must obey." Now, when we're in the center ring, given those last instructions, we actually say, "Obey our commands at all times." That was the line. And I just changed it from what my son said around a little bit. And yeah, it has worked. It has caught on. And the word obey kicks in real strong when it comes to the fighters and the word itself.
Well, that's what I was going to say, Kenny, is that word obey. I think somebody once said to me, you'll like this, when I first became a Christian, it was when I was 27, and I'm 50 years old now, so it was 23 years ago. And somebody said, "You know, Jason, there's one word that you need to remember when you think about your walk with Jesus." And I'm like, "All right, what is that? God? Is it salvation? Is it the cross?" And he's like, "Obedience, obey." Yes. And I said, "Obey, really?" He's like, "Yep, because that's going to be the hardest thing in this walk to remember, is obedience to what Christ says." So that word, when I heard this, I'm like, there's got to be a connection there, Kenny.
Yeah. Yeah. The schooling, the church, the individual person himself, if they understood obey, it's a simple word, but it means a whole lot. Now that I'm retired, you know, I look at the parents today raising their kids, and it's just a different generation out there now from what I see with parents, because I don't see them teaching obey or obedience. I see them wanting to be a friend to their child, and I see them getting in trouble because their kids want to do what they want to do, and they don't want to be obedient and obey. And there's a lot to be said about it. But yeah, everybody has their ways as to how they want to do things. Parents have their ways on how to do things. So we just pray for them.
That's what we can do. Well, I wanted to ask you, that word obey, when it comes to your walk with Jesus, how has that been for you personally? It's a personal relationship with the Lord, right? How has the word obey impacted your life with God?
Well, I was single for 10 years before I got married. And you develop certain habits as a single person as opposed to when you become a married person.
Absolutely.
So I've had to do a self-check with myself in the area of obey and being obedient to my wife. Because if not, then there's going to be more stormy times and it's going to be happy times. And I'm at the point now where I often say, peace. I'm just looking for peace.
That's it.
So if I can obey and stay within myself as far as the things that I know I have to do, and be obedient to her, as well as her being obedient to me, then we'll have a pretty happy marriage, and for the most part, we do have a happy marriage. But no marriage is perfect. You always have a bump,
of course,
in the road here or there.
Well, yeah. That's why marriage can't be our gods, right? We need to look to him to be at the center, correct?
Exactly. Lord, what am I doing wrong? Lord, didn't do this right? Talk to me, Lord. Give me some feedback.
Yes. Oh, lots of prayer. Lots of prayer indeed.
Lots of prayer. Yes, sir.
Speaking of prayer, I was going to ask you, is prayer an important part, or has it been in your job? Like, this is the intersection of sports and faith, this show, right? So intersect your boxing career and your faith. Are you able to put those together often in the role? You know, if you were, you know, you're refereeing Mayweather Pacquiao, right? Are you locking in with the Lord before you go out there and do your job, and making sure prayer is a central part and connecting with God is a central part of doing your job well?
Yes, I do. And what we do as referees, is there was a time, and it still happens, where us referees, at a lot of our fight cards, we'll have a post-fight critique, which means that the executive director is going to meet with us referees, and any concerns that he have about matching fights, fighters together, or on the basis of what their records are, and if there's any concerns, we'll go over that. And then us referees will get together and we'll pray. Matter of fact, I mentioned it to Ted Barrett a few years ago, because I know Ted Barrett does the same thing with the umpires.
In baseball, yeah.
And either I would lead prayer, or Richard Steele would lead prayer, some of our referees have moved up, a particular referee in mind, Russell Moore, had some hard fights back in the day, but I would pray with him to the point that, and he's a Christian, to the point that he improved his abilities in the ring, and before he retired, he started getting some of the big major fights, and either I would pray with him over the phone or at the arena, but we would work it out where prayer would be a part of preparing us for the fight that we knew that could be a challenging fight in the ring.
Yeah, and you don't want to be the center of attention, right? Like, you want those guys to be the center of attention. You're just trying to stay out of the way.
We're just trying to stay out of the way, and you never know which fight is going to be the most challenging fight. And people have asked me about you know, that very thing. And when I referee Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder, what they were doing was no different than if a middleweight or a welterweight or a lightweight was doing. They were just big guys.
Right.
You know, Tyson Fury was around 270 the night of the fight, and Deontay Wilder was around 240. So you're talking about a combined weight of over 500 pounds. And you got to use the tools in your toolbox to separate them and do what it takes to keep the fight moving, as opposed to them holding and rabbit punches and low blows, etc. So, it could be challenging, some of these championship fights.
Have you ever had a conversation with a boxer about faith, or had any conversations or talked to any boxers about the Lord at all? Or is that kind of off limits because of the separation of what you do and what they do?
Yeah, it's off limits for the sake that when we go to the dressing room, there's anything personal that I can talk to. Even their trainers, it's a strictly business type atmosphere when I go into a dressing room, and even if it's if I just see them at a fight card or in a restaurant or something, because of my position, I can't. We actually have a code of ethics referees have to live by. Every year we have to renew our license, and one portion of the application that we have to fill out, it asks us directly, do we have any involvement with any promoters or managers? And if you do have an involvement, you're not going to get licensed. And there's another form that we also have to fill out in regards to trainers and managers. And I can't go to lunch and have a snack with a fighters, a fighter or a trainer or a sec, any of that, because in today's time with everybody's phone that has a camera on it, someone takes a picture of that and posts it. It could knock me out of a particular fight card or a particular fight. So, yeah, we have to keep our distance. I know that Manny Pacquiao is faithful to the Lord. I've talked to him. When I retire, then the door is open for me to share and say what I like, because it won't affect me as far as an assignment. But as of now, I have to be mindful of that.
Of course. Yeah, that makes complete sense. I mean, there doesn't want to even be the appearance of any bias to allow these guys to have a fair fight and to know that you aren't favoring anybody. You're just trying to do your job. So that makes complete sense to me. You mentioned the most challenging fight with these heavyweights, with Fury and Wilder. What's the most, I don't know, your favorite that you can come up with? Because you've done so many big fights, but your favorite that you've been a part of, or maybe most memorable?
There has been a few, Jason. At one point in time, the top five fights in Nevada, and I'm talking about top five in notoriety, the competitiveness, everything, that even the money. I had did four out of the top five.
Wow.
But I'm going to mention this particular fight, and the reason why I'm going to mention it is because of physically what it did to me. Manny Pacquiao fought a fighter by the name of Ricky Hatton from England. And at the end of the first round, Manny Pacquiao had knocked Ricky Hatton down twice in the first round. And the noise level in the arena was so loud, it was deafening, it was so loud. And when the bell rung and they went to their corners, I went back to my neutral corner. And as I was standing there, I had gotten an adrenaline rush, and my heart was beating a mile a minute. And I'm sitting there, and I'm saying to myself, I can feel my heart beating. And I'm saying to myself, calm down, Lord, calm, slow this down, because that bell is getting ready to ring, and I got to be right back out there on my toes. And just prior to the bell ring, my pulse, I could feel that adrenaline rush go back down. And when that bell rung, I went back out, and in that round, second round, Manny Pacquiao knocked Ricky Hatton out.
Mm.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I can imagine, like, if that went 15 rounds, who knows, or 12 rounds or 10 rounds, you're just trying to make it to the next round, right?
You take them round by round, exactly.
Yeah. Well, real quick, I want to ask you this, too. I read that you overcame a cancer diagnosis in 2003. I guess you were 53 at that time, just doing the math here. What was that time like? And maybe what was God teaching you during that time? What was he showing you? Because that's obviously a difficult thing for anybody to walk through. But we're still here talking 20 years later, 20 plus years later. What was that time like?
It was tough. When I was diagnosed, like I had mentioned earlier, I was having a hard struggle crossing certain bridges to get to where I was being appointed to do the super fights. And I had not gotten there yet. And when I got the diagnosis, I thought my career was over at that time. Being a healthy person that I had been for all these years, I truly wasn't expecting this to happen. But after I was diagnosed, again, the blessings that the Lord had provided for me was the fact that my wife was a wellness coach and health educator. And she kept telling me that I was going to beat this. My doctor at one point wanted to give me medication for depression, because that's just how hard this was for me. And my wife kept saying, you're going to beat this. And I changed my diet and started eating healthier. And when I went back after, I didn't even tell anyone on the commission that I had it, because I felt that I was going to be done after that. They were going to be through with me. And when I went back to the doctor said everything looked good, but nothing has changed or gotten worse. But the cancer was still there. And so I underwent the surgery to remove my prostate, and everything. It is the funny thing about that, Jason, was after I had the surgery, which was in May of 2004, 3 months later, I get the assignment to do Oscar De La Hoya and Bernard Hopkins, which was a super fight.
Oh, yeah.
And when I did a lot of praying, brother, I did a lot of praying, because I knew all eyes were on me, and the haters and the negativity that I was getting up to that point escalated, because there were people out there that did not want me to do well. They wanted me to fail. But I did a great job, and 3 months after that, they put me in another big fight, which was harder to officiate than Bernard and Oscar De La Hoya. It was two Mexican fighters, Eric Morales, when he fought Marco Antonio Barrera. They had fought twice, each fighter won one, and this was the rubber match. And the Lord blessed me, and I did a great job in that fight. And from that point, Jason, my stock went up. And I started doing all the big and major fights from that point.
Yeah, look at God, right? That's what he does. Let me close with this. This has been fantastic in the conversation. Let's talk about gratitude as we close here. What are you most thankful for to God when you think about where you are today, the life you've lived, the things you've overcome, the things we just talked about, even since you were growing up, even without a dad and the cancer and pushing through and persevering? What are you most thankful to God for right now?
Well, I would probably say of my wife, I'm most thankful for, because there was a point in my life when I thought that I wasn't going to get married because the right woman just never came along. And I guess when I got in my mind that it wasn't going to happen, then was when the Lord sent her to me. And me and my wife actually met Jason at a boxing match.
Is that right?
Yes. And Larry Holmes was the heavyweight champ at the time. He came to Las Vegas and fought at Caesar's Palace. And me and my brother was sitting at the fight, a row behind my wife. And she was there with a friend that she was working with. And they were talking, we were talking, and in some kind of way we started engaging in conversation, and the rest is history.
That's a blind date that you can't even make happen. That's just fate in the best way possible, right?
Yes, sir.
Well, I love that story. I love your story. And I'm just grateful that you were willing to come on and share a little bit. Hopefully we'll have you back on again, and certainly wish you nothing but the best, my friend. Thanks for joining us here on Sports Spectrum.
No problem. Thanks for having me. And anytime in the future you'd like to hit me up and bring me back, I'm available.
And that was Kenny Bayless, Boxing Referee Hall of Famer. Really appreciate Kenny sharing stories here on Sports Spectrum. He was fantastic, and I love how much he loves God. I love how much he loves his wife, and certainly love the stories that he shared, some of the different matches and fights that he's been a part of. I mean, I didn't even get a chance to ask him about Mayweather-Pacquiao in 2015 and what that must have been like. But he's a lot of fun, Kenny Bayless. Lives in Nevada, lives in Vegas, and really just appreciate him sharing his story with us on Sports Spectrum. Maybe we'll get him back on it again and share some more stories of being a boxing referee. How about Muhammad Ali and the impact that he made on Kenny's life, being able to go see him in person, meeting his wife at a Larry Holmes boxing match, which is just so cool. Kenny's awesome, and I'm just glad he came on the show today to share his story. We thank you as well. You are all awesome, and thank you for tuning in to Sports Spectrum today. If you could do this, please leave a review. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, a 5-star review and a rating, that always helps get the word out. You can subscribe and follow this podcast on any app that you listen to. That way you don't miss any more conversations like today's with Kenny Bayless. Certainly visit our website if you're looking for content every single day, different stories, articles, even devotionals. Our 5-day Monday through Friday devotionals are available at the website, and you can actually sign up to have those sent directly to your email inbox. SportsSpectrum.com is the home base. Go check that out each and every day for all of the Sports Spectrum content. The intersection of sports and Jesus. This is Sports Spectrum. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you guys next time right here on the show.